So good being in the house of the Lord. So this morning's message, I want to start with establishing what is the basic fundamental of Christianity. You see, the basic fundamental of Christianity is simply for us, the believer, to have that belief or faith in a Father God revealed in the Bible, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, as specified in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The belief of faith in a Son known as Jesus the Christ, who died for mankind, was risen on the third day, to believe Him. To have the belief and faith in the Spirit that was hovering in the beginning of time in the waters. And that Spirit, who I call as the Holy Spirit, now dwells within us. So that's the Godhead, or what we call as the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But yet over decades, I mean decades, unbelievers still cannot accept this triune God, this Godhead. Three persons in one. Once there was an unbeliever asked me this question: how can you have three gods? One plus one plus one is three. That's what he tells me. One plus one, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is one plus one plus one. One is three. Simple maths. But I told him this. It's not one plus one plus one, but it's one times one times one. And that's one God. The Godhead. You see, Christianity by itself is all about faith living. To believe in a God who was there in the beginning of time, existed then, who is present right now, and will be ever present, out of time, timeless. So this morning, as my sermon is faith to believe in the impossible. The word impossible is broken into I am possible. Impossible broken into I am possible. So, Father, even as we are gathered this morning, Lord, we just want to dive into an understanding, O Lord, of You who was and is to come. To understand You, Lord, that You can transform things from the spirit realm into the natural. And there we see miracles because You are God of I am possible, Lord. So, Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, speak, Lord, and have Your way within us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, simply speaks about faith. The crux of the matter here is about faith. Let's just go into that. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God. The Word of God here says, without faith, it is not possible. Luar biasa. You cannot walk with God if you do not have faith. For whoever comes near to God must first believe that God actually exists. Now, how many of us believe that God exists? Some don't. Yeah? And that He rewards. I mean, He rewards those who diligently seek after Him. So I'm calling this morning for people to seek after Him. The requirement of God to reward us in this particular, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, the first requirement is for miracles or breakthroughs to happen, it is to believe first that God existed in the beginning of time and is still existing and will ever exist.
Yes, that's right.
First requirement, according to Hebrews 11:6. The second requirement, to have faith that this God works things out for good. He is a miracle working God. And the third requirement is the I am possible God rewards those who believe, those who have faith, and those who seek after Him. Just like the song, breathe, this is the air that I breathe, this is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, this is my daily bread. You're very spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. Speaking about how desperate you are, seeking diligently. The word diligent here speaks about being persistent, speaks about being strong, a strong effort to seek after Him, to be desperate for Him. So, church, this morning, if you and I do not have that faith level, we cannot see things happening. We cannot see breakthroughs happening in our life. See, Jesus was speaking to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29. Thomas had to see that Jesus was really alive by touching Jesus. How many of us have got the opportunity to touch Jesus and see, Jesus, are you really alive? No. 20, verse 29 says, Thomas had to see. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, do you now believe? Only now doubting Thomas believed. And he went on to say, happy, spiritually secure and favored by God are they who did not see and yet believe in me. How many of us do not see but yet believe? And the unbelievers don't believe there is a God because they cannot see, they cannot fathom how, in the first place, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit can exist. And Jesus goes on saying, Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, I assure you most solemnly, say to you, if you, the word of God here says, not when, but if you only have faith. Personal trust and confidence in me, and do not doubt or allow yourself to be drawn into two directions here. Now, how many of us go into two directions mode? Which means you become double-minded, not single-minded. Goes on to say, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even to say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. You see, as Jesus walked along the roadside, he saw a lone fig tree and cursed it, and it was withered. He went on to say, if we have faith, that confidence, trust in the Lord, and not doubt or waver in our thoughts, we can even take the mountain and throw it into the sea. Hallelujah. That is the essence of faith. So when we pray, it has to be faith in within. We cannot say, okay, that problem is so big. I will pray, but I don't know. I don't know whether it can be done or not. When you begin to say that, church, you begin to doubt. And that is being double-minded. Don't be a doubting Thomas. So we have to believe and see the miracles happen according to how He wills it, according to His plans, according to His purposes, according to His time. The essence of time. People begin sometimes pray and say, nothing's happening, man. What's happening? Just wait. Time. According to His perfect time. So what is faith itself? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. says, for faith is the assurance, the title, the confirmation of things hoped for divinely, something that is divinely guaranteed. And the evidence of things, something's not seen. So faith is hope that something that you cannot see in the natural. Beyond the five senses, which means out of sight, out of smell, out of hearing, out of taste, out of touch, something that you can see and hope for and know that it will happen. That's what I mean by faith. Believing in something that we cannot see. Now, very quickly, I want to do a quick exercise this morning, if I may. Come, Jeremy, please help me. Anybody, I need two people here who are looking for a miracle, for a breakthrough in their lives. Quickly, come up here, quick. I just need two people. All right, come. Right? That's one. I need one more. So Raj is here. One more. But not Jeremy. Yeah. One more. Nobody. No takers. I just need one more. Come. Yeah, come. All right, Jeremy, you got to blindfold them. Using the mask. Can see? You can't see, yeah? What is this? Okay, can't see. Can see?
No.
Okay, good. You are blind as Bartimaeus now. All right? Now, both of you, I want you to look into the spirit realm. So that is why I had to blindfold you, so that there is no distraction. Look into the spirit realm. Now I'm going to bring about two balls. Okay? That two balls will represent the miracle that you're looking at. It could be a financial breakthrough. It could be a health issue. It could be a relationship issue. I don't know. Okay? Whatever it is, visualize right now, and that ball will represent that miracle you're looking for. All right. I've got two balls here. One small and one slightly bigger. All right. Now, what I'm going to do here is, I want to speak to you, the word pistiao. The word pistia here is a Greek word for belief. Do you believe? Crutch?
Yes.
Do you believe?
Yes.
Believe, huh? All right. Who do you believe? I'm a magician. Do you believe in me? I got two balls here, you know. Do you believe in me or not? All right. Amen. Believe in Jesus. Who is the author and finisher of your faith? Now, next question. How do you increase your faith? How do you build your faith to see the things happen? How?
Pray.
Yeah. Okay, pray. We obviously all pray. Faith comes by hearing. Today you hear the word of God. When you begin to read the word of God, it's also building of faith. Faith comes, that's two times here. Faith comes by hearing. That means you get into the word of God, then you hear the word. And hearing, and then the sermon is preached. Faith is then built up. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, so I have two balls here. You can't see any, all right? I want you to just visualize on, just pick one ball. Like I said, I'm not a magician here. I just want to illustrate something. pick one ball. One on my left and one on my right. Okay, just say, I want the right one, I want the left one, whatever. You can also pick the same one on the right or the same one on the left. Just go ahead and choose. Which one? You want on the right or the left? You can't see the ball. Same thing. You want to choose the right one? Go ahead, choose the right one. You want to choose the right one as well? Go ahead. Or you want to choose the left one? Left one? Up to you.
Right.
Right.
Left.
Huh? Left. You are left. Okay. You are left, huh? Left, huh? You're very sure, huh? You share left, isn't it? You're right, right. Okay, just hold the ball. Oops. Oh, you really can't see, huh? Okay. All right. Now, the scripture verse here says, so small as a mustard seed able to move mountains. Faith so small as a mustard seed to move mountains. So as you hold this ball also is a bit more solid. So it speaks about you are a person having that faith so strong as a small as a mustard seed, as small as this ball, that you can move mountains. You have that strong, that kind of faith level? Do you have the kind of faith level?
Yes.
Has anything happened to you in your life that you saw faith happen in your life?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Now, this ball is big. We are talking about having big faith. So the ball looks bigger, right? But this ball is flimsy. So when you go through circumstances in your life, your faith begins to be big. Oh, it's going to happen. But then something, a challenge happens. A challenge happens and then you begin to doubt, lose faith. Okay? So that's what it is. All right. So I'm not going to test your faith here. All right? God knows. All right? But just, yeah. So thank you so much. You can open your take it out, yeah. So that's the ball, the small ball, and that's the big ball. So thank you. Yeah, come. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Come, each have one.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. So what I'm trying to say here is, when we go through our faith level, we need to build our faith to a size big like the big ball. But then it has to be solid like the small ball. Small, faith so small, as a mustard seed, able to move mountains. Hallelujah. So I just want to go through now characters who I look at who had believed in the impossible God. The first character is no other than the father of faith. And who is this? Abraham. How many of you know that Abraham went through four tests? The first test that he went through was in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Now in Haran, the Lord had said to Abraham, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. He went on to say, I'll make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great and you shall be a blessing. You see, God instructed Abraham to get out of his comfort zone, out of his family, out of all the distractions and go, go. And Abraham said, go where, Lord? Go where? Go to an unknown place. And what did he do? Along the way, for direction, what did he do? He built altars. He built altars so that he could be guided along. I'm not talking about you put an altar, one altar here, another altar. No! He was communicating with God and throughout he was asking the Lord the right direction. Today, we are seated here. How many of you, if the Lord speaks to you to go into an unknown place, you would go? I still remember I visited USJ 9. It was Terrence Connect Group. I came in, I sat beside Pamela. And the Lord spoke to me to speak to her. I turned to her and said, you have been very unsettled in your job. you're frustrated, and you're looking for a job, I encourage you, go, start applying for jobs. And you know what's history? Today, Pamela is not here. The Lord took her out into a better offer in Dubai. Unknown. She did not expect to go there, but she's there now. But I encouraged her, I gave her a word that it's time for you to go. And she went. And she's having a good time, yeah? She's blessed. So this morning, church, anybody restless in your current position? Ife and Lisa, you are here right today. You started on with Dari, or you call it Dari, all right? You've been in this place for a good, since the time that you started, what, 3 years, 4 years? If God were to ask you today to move out of that comfort zone, because you're going to move there to another place, okay, and God is going to take it to a fresh dimension in your business, would you do it? Let the Lord be so. So Abraham went into an unknown place to fulfill what God instructed him. The second incident Abraham experienced was he was given a prophecy. At the age of 75 years old, and the wife Sarah was 65 years old, when a promise that you will have a child was announced. And he was, to a certain extent, impatient. Because there came Hagar, and there came Ishmael. All right. But to put it in a nutshell here is he waited another 25 years at the age of 100. And Sarah was 90 years old. Isaac was born. Anybody 90 years old this morning who wants a child?
John.
Today, prophecies. Some of us have received prophecies for months. Prophecies for months and nothing's happening. Prophecies for years, and nothing is happening. And you begin to doubt and lose faith. Yeah? But Abraham waited for 25 years. So I'm not asking you to wait for 25 years for that prophecy to come to pass. But it has to come to pass according to the Lord's time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Right.
Incident number 3. Abraham, having that child, waited for that child, Isaac. And now he was asked to go to Mount Moriah to sacrifice that son. Okay? And there he took Isaac. Maybe he had some reservations. Oh my goodness, my only son, Isaac, I'm going to take. So today I ask Jeremy. Jeremy, if you were to sacrifice Stephanie Tia, would you do it?
Yes.
Yeah? No. Tough one, eh? Tough one, yeah? Yeah. So Abraham had that choice, but he obeyed. He said, okay, I will sacrifice Isaac. And he went up to the mountains. And that came the fourth test. When he was up there in Genesis chapter 22, verse 7 to 8, and Isaac said to Abraham, my father, daddy, he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac question, Abraham. Okay, we are up here, up in the mountains. You've got all the firewood, all everything there, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham, where's the sacrifice? I don't see any lamb, nothing. That was a test. Because Abraham himself did not know what to do at that split second. He just said, all right, ready to sacrifice Isaac. And then the angel, the Lord, spoke. And said, haha, you have passed the test. You do not have to sacrifice Isaac. And then straight away, focus was upon a bush. And a ram was caught there. And that was history. Took the ram, who is the Lamb of God, who is Jesus. It was a prophecy. All right? And that is why in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, it states, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is the day, the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The Lord provided to replace Isaac with that ram or that lamb, and that is Jesus. It was a prophecy that Abraham was Father God. And to sacrifice Jesus. And that is what happened. How many of us know that when you look at the context of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is somehow connected? Yeah, it is. That's the first character who passed faith, the level of faith. The next character who had faith to believe in the impossible is no other than David. The name David's here, David Perumal, the name David here speaks, the explanation is beloved. Hi, beloved. He was the Lord's God's beloved. So with all the hoo-ha in Israel, there were giants. And then they feared one giant, the giant of all giants. Fear came into the entire land of Israel. And to a certain extent, even to David. But David rose up above that. And then Samuel said, in Samuel chapter 1, verse 17 to 38 to 39 says, I prepared for you an armor. If you are prepared to go and fight with this Philistine, with this giant, here is the armor. Put on that armor. He felt so uncomfortable. He just used it and dropped it. He said, no, it's too heavy for me, no. But you see, he had his own armor. Today, God empowers us with giftings and talents. You may be able to play drums, but perhaps not the guitar. Perhaps maybe Ife has got the full range. He can play everything. But you have all the gifts and talents, just like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So God gives all that. And so God gave that or that gift or the talent that David had in that slingshot. And he picked 5 stones. And that was his armor. Not to be put under armor, but that was his armor, the 5 stones. And of that 5 stones represents the first stone, the stone of faith. The second stone, the stone of the word of God. The third stone of anointing. The fourth stone, stone of prayer. Third is anointing. Stone of prayer is the fourth. Stone of praise and worship is last, but not least. The stones he had in his ammunition. But he used the first stone of faith. And it, what happened is history. He threw it at the head of the giant. He was in a daze. And then he took the sword of that giant and beheaded. David had that faith. Despite the situation when everybody in Israel had that fear, he rose up above fear to have that faith, to defeat the giant. The third character who believed in the impossible, made possible in the I am possible, is no other than Moses. Moses led the Israelites out of the domain of Egypt after 430 long years. It was the Kairos moment, but for them to be out. But that Kairos moment was, I would say, Pharaoh then looked at that period of time and changed his mind. He wanted to disrupt the plans of God. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 5 to 7, he changed his mind after saying, okay, now you Israelites can go. Then he changed his mind. Hey, what am I thinking? How can they go? I still want them to be under slavery. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people, and they said, what is this that we have done? We have let Israel go from serving us. So Pharaoh harassed horses to his war chariots for battle and took his army with him, and he took 600 chosen war chariots and all the other war chariots of Egypt with fighting charioteers over all of them. The Israelites were challenged with the Egyptian army, and as they stepped into the Red Sea, there was the Red Sea, and yet behind them were the army coming after them. And the gung-ho Israelites suddenly turned around and started blaming Moses. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians marching after them, and they were very frightened. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, what are you, Moses, you bring us here? It's because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die here in this wilderness. Is that your plan, Moses? What is it that you have done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians, would be better than die here. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. They lost faith and were resigned to the fact to go back into slavery. But Moses had that fire of faith and said in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 14, then Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Take your stand. Be firm, confident, and undismayed, which means you do not be double-minded, undismayed, and see the salvation of the Lord which he will accomplish for you today. For those Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see again. He knew that this was the last of the Egyptians. The Lord will fight for you while you only need to keep silent. So will you shut your mouth up? Stop talking negative. Shut your mouth. Shut up. He said, shut up. Keep silent and remain calm and see the work of God. I'm speaking to some people here. Sometimes with all the unrest, you talk so much of negative things that what happens, whatever you pray through, to see it happen will be nullified. Wait and see the work of the Lord happen. Keep your mouth shut. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. As Moses lifted up the rod, stretched out his hand, as instructed by God, the impossible happened. As the waters were divided, you can see the waters being divided. The dry grounds, the waters were walled to them on the right and left side, and the Israelites just walked through the sea. And then as the Egyptian army was coming, it closed. And how many of us know in history, you can even still go to that place. You can see the chariots deep in the waters. It's there. Another incident was Prophet Ezekiel. He was taken to a valley filled with bones. And God showed him how he can see impossible miracles happen through him. Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1 to 10 says, the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And then God spoke to him, and he said to him, Son of man, can these bones live? He spoke to Ezekiel. So he answered, Oh Lord God, you know, again he said to me, Prophesy now, you prophesy to these bones and say to them, Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So what do? He then prophesies. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone, okay, and there was sounds. Indeed, as I looked at the sewers, and the flesh came upon me, and the skin covered them, but there was bones, but no bread, still dead. Form, but still no life. Also, he said to them, Prophesy now to the bread. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the bread. And then, thus says the Lord God, Come, four winds of bread, breathe on these slain, and they may live. So then he prophesied as he commanded me. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and bread came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. An exceedingly great army was built from bones, dry bones, dead bones, coming alive to see in the spirit realm. You see, God has given us that ability to speak to the mountains, to speak to challenges, to speak and turn around things, to speak to dead things, to come alive. The impossible made possible in the possible God. I am possible. Hallelujah. Look at the life of Jesus. He had performed so many miracles, but I just picked two. Jesus had to attend to two significant. Karen asked me, what number am I speaking today? Where are you? All right. Jesus had to attend to two significant numbers, 12. Almost the same time. The number 12 stands for divine governance, divine authority. So it was time for the 12. Jairus' 12-year-old daughter was sick and dying. At the same time, in the midst of the crowd, was this woman suffering for 12 years. That blood issue, the blood hemorrhage. And he had to make a split decision. At the same, almost the same time, who was he to go first? Was it Jairus' daughter or was it that woman who had the issue? Both 12, significantly, he had that divine authority. He decided to choose the one with the blood issue for 12 years first. As much as Jairus was waiting, hey, my daughter, come. But he went to the woman with the 12 years of blood issue. During that time, not only Jesus had that faith, during that time, that woman, the 12-year issue, the blood hemorrhage, also had that faith level rising up big. She knew when Jesus was in that city, in that town, she knew it was the Kairos moment for her to be healed. After 12 long years, I would be healed. So she was desperate enough to go and seek after Jesus. Despite the fact, bleeding and all of that, community doesn't accept her. Society doesn't accept her. But she pushed herself to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She did not touch Jesus, although she had the opportunity to touch Jesus, but she touched the hem of the garment. Why? Because she believed in the word of God. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 39, it says, "And you shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord." And Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, "But unto you who revere and worship fully my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wings and his beams, and you shall go forth and gamble like calves from the stall and leap for joy." Here speaking about the Hebrew word kanaf, kanaf, the corner of the garment. And that was Jesus, wings, the righteous one, the Son of Righteousness, about to, as she began to just lay hands upon the hem of the garment, the tassel. Healings took place immediately. And moments later, Jesus then heard that Jairus' daughter was already dead. And what he did, we all know. He raised her from the dead. The significance of the power of Jesus. You see, fear is a language of defeat and death to hell. And faith is a language of victory, of life and kingdom over storms, over challenges of life. So this morning, I ask you to set your mind on the heavenly things above and not on the earth, for you to see miracles, to see breakthroughs happen. Yes. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." You see, many companies are gone into certain areas of retrenchment, leaving employees jobless. A couple of months ago, I met my cousins. I went to the cousin's house, spoke to the daughter and said, "You know what? My company has just laid off 40 staff. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to be the next one to be laid off." I told her to look to the Lord. You see, if I ask you today, if you get yourself employed, do not look at the employer, but look at the employer in the Lord who has given you that job. I still remember, somehow or other, the Lord asked me to, Sementi and Sarah, you came up to me on one Sunday to ask me to pray for both of you. Right? And my prayer to them was, don't look at the circumstance, but look to the Lord who will deliver, who will provide. They were looking for a better offer. Hallelujah. Both of them now are going to work in a better company, a better place. And not only that, the place that she is now, both of them are in now, they have broken the contract. They have to pay a fine, a penalty. And as they look to the Lord, supernaturally, the employer said, "It's okay, no penalty for you, go." Hallelujah. That's the work of God. Amen. That's the work of God. Hallelujah. Right? Praise Him. So today, I want to encourage each and every one of you to look above the circumstance you're going through. If you're looking at a miracle, a breakthrough they're looking for, you need to be in sync, to be in tune, just as what I demonstrated, to look into the spirit realm, to see, to visualize what is happening in the spirit realm into the natural. You see, when the Israelites were asked to go, to walk around the walls of Jericho, you know what they did? The instruction was to march for 6 days was important. You know why 6 days was important? First march for 6 days. Once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, then you will see the miracle. As they walk around that place, around the walls of Jericho, once, and then the next day on the Tuesday, once, and on a Wednesday, once and once. Now what were they doing? They were laying the seeds of possibilities. They were laying the seeds of breakthroughs to happen. During that 6 days, they were laying, walking around in prayer, waiting for the right moment. And Karen, seven. On the seventh day, they marched seven times on the seventh day of the walls of Jericho came down. There's so much of, over my decades of ministry, there's so many miracles happened to in my life. I still remember when I was on the way to PD with friends. All of a sudden, it was raining at that time, slippery. Cars behind, a fleet of cars just bang one after another. Jam, bang. And that last car suddenly just stopped. And the cars in front of me also went on bang, 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 bang. And when I got out of my car, I said, hallelujah. Fleet of cars there gone. Fleet of cars there gone. And my car was unscattered. Nothing. The Lord sent angels to just protect my car from this accident. That's the work of God. I still remember another miracle. It was before COVID. My cousin was warded in Sanmei Hospital. And I went to talk to her husband and say, what's wrong? She's dying. She was crying. He was crying. She's dying. I have to set now the funeral arrangements. This is terrible. I cannot accept it. I told brother, I'm going to see her. I'm going to visit her. So I went up to the hotel room, and true enough, he was unconscious. All, you name it. She was there, unconscious. And all the tubes all over her. Oh my goodness, I felt the spirit of death within. What I did was, I rebuked the spirit of death. I call upon the spirit of life. I call upon the healing grace of Jesus. And I left the room. Days later, she began to recover from a state of being in a coma. Day by day, day by day, day by day, she recovered. And today, hallelujah, she lives. Staying in Subang Jaya. She lives. It's all the power of God for those who believe in the impossible made possible, in the I am possible God. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to carry out his purpose to do super abundantly more than all we can ask, all we can desire, beyond comprehension, beyond infinite, beyond our greatest prayers, hopes or dreams, according to his power that is working. Church, that is working within us. So if we have that faith to do what is necessary, then the Lord does the rest, that work within us. And it will explode. And you will see the miracles, the breakthroughs happening in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.